Would you please turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We're only going to look at one verse for today. Ephesians 6, verse 12. But as you make your way there, let me ask you a question. Has anybody here ever been to Washington, D.C.? I like it there. It's fun to go there. If you had the opportunity, or at some point have the opportunity to go there, go there. There's a lot to do there. And Washington, D.C. is, if you're not sure, in case if you might have your head in the sand, Washington, D.C. is our nation's capital. And, yep, that's where Capitol Hill is located. Capitol Hill is where Congress decides how our country will be run. What is decided there will affect you and I, no matter where we live at in this nation, or even sometimes abroad. On Capitol Hill, there are two, I'll call them dominant parties. There is the Republican Party, and there is the Democratic Party. And both of these parties vie for power and control. And these two parties, have way different philosophies about how things should run. And the party that is in control is the one who kind of sets the basic direction for the country. And as you see who's in control now and the direction our country is going, it's not good. It's not good. Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 tells us that there is a battle that takes place in the heavenly places. And so, metaphorically speaking, the heavenly places is our Capitol Hill. And there are two parties there, not Republican, not Democrat, but there are two parties there vying for control. One is the kingdom of God, which is controlled by Christ, who sits on the throne. And the other is the kingdom of darkness, which is controlled by Satan and all his minions. And they are fighting for power. They are fighting for control to see who will advance their cause. The good news, Jesus has veto power over Satan. If he doesn't want something to happen, it's not going to happen. And for those who are believers in Jesus Christ, for those who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus is the head of our party, if you will. Excuse me, my microphone's coming off. The other party, headed by Satan, is a party which Satan, seeks to undermine. He seeks to sabotage. He seeks to overthrow. He seeks to destroy all that is good and those who have believed and aligned themselves with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But that's not all he does. Satan also likes to keep the members of his party from switching and aligning themselves with Jesus' party. He likes to also take those who are aligned with Jesus' party to try and make them switch to his party. Now, the bad news, if you belong to Satan and his party, if you don't switch, you're on your way to hell. But for the good news, those who profess allegiance to Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus says in Ephesians 1 that he has us sealed until the day of redemption. So if you're thinking about switching parties, you might want to think the eternal consequences. Heaven or hell? And so, in today's portion of Scripture, I want to read this for you, and then we'll just take a moment in prayer. It says in Ephesians 6, as Paul is talking, he says, our struggle, that word is pele in the Greek, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Does that sound like your struggle today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and as we have opportunity to look together into your word, as we sit here in this room, Father, we all have struggles. Some may be struggling with depression. Some may be struggling with their emotions. Some may be struggling to pay bills. Some may be struggling, Father, with family and friends, struggling with their job. We have a variety of struggles. And Paul also tells us that there is a struggle that we have. It's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a battle going on in the heavenly places, a battle for our soul. And for those of us who have entrusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are sealed until the day of redemption. That doesn't mean we're going to win every battle. Doesn't mean that everything is going to be peachy keen and all is grand. It doesn't mean we're going to have a full bank account and nothing ever plague us. Doesn't mean that at all. It means that we are sealed until the day of redemption. We are yours, those who have chosen you as our Lord and Savior. We have been redeemed with a price, Christ who died on a cross for our sins. And it would be our hope and prayer that each person here today would know you as such. There is another Lord, as we read in this passage, whom we have struggles with. And as we enter this new year, Lord God, we're going to have struggles with this one. He's going to do all he can to trip us up, to cause us to fall, to make us ponder switching parties, if you will. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to continue to remain anchored in Christ as our Lord and Savior. And for those who don't know you as such, today would be a day, Lord, where they would surrender themselves to you as such, to become their Lord and their Savior. Guide us, Heavenly Father, in the verse that we have read as Paul is writing to the church. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 15, that everyone who comes to Christ for salvation is delivered from the domain of darkness and of the devil. And so, Father, we pray that, Lord, as we ponder this verse, why does it seem like we're not winning? Why does it seem like we are losing so often? And that's a great question to ask, and we're going to see an answer for that here in this portion today. Guide us, Father, we ask with your Spirit. Lead us, Lord, to the throne of grace and mercy. And there we will find help in time of need. And today, Father, as we gather here, I have no doubt that we're in need. You know all about our struggles. But you will guide us until the day is done. So, Father, help us to yield ourselves to you, to wait upon you, to be still and know that you are God. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the passage I felt led to share with you today, you might think, oh man, really? This is how we're starting out the year? Talking about the devil and his minions and his demons. But really, it's something we need to know because, you know, as we start this year, there can be a tendency to think our enemy might be our spouse, might be a family member, might be a friend, might be a coworker, might be a neighbor. We might have gone rounds with one another at times. But let me tell you something about a boxer. There was a certain boxer, and he was in the ring with this other heavyweight person, and as they were boxing, man got his nose broke. His eyes swelled up pretty good. He was in a lot of pain. And during the end of the round, that was just the first round, he came over and he sat in a corner. And his trainer said to him, you're doing great. You're doing great. Keep up the good work. And the guy said to his trainer, he goes, are you watching the same fight I'm in? Is there somebody different that you see fighting me? He says, because I'm getting my butt kicked out here. And you know, the boxer knew something. He knew that No matter how many kind words, how many platitudes his trainer would share with him, he knew that wasn't true, that he was in a fight of his life. And so as I stand up here today, I can share with you many of verses that will tickle your ears, that would encourage you. But you may be sitting there going through a struggle and you're thinking, you know, that's just not true for me today. I'm in a fight of my life. And I feel like I'm losing. I feel like I'm not gaining anything. Why? Well, there's something Paul wants us to know. He says, your fight is not against flesh and blood. Now, sometimes the devil will rise up within us, right? And he'll cause us to maybe be cantankerous to somebody, and we might think that that person is our enemy, or they might think, you know, vice versa, we're their enemy. The devil does use us at those times, but we are not that individual's enemy. And Paul says to us here, he says, look, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, this word struggle, pele, as I said, is a term used to describe somebody who wrestles. So, taking the context of this portion of Scripture, back to the first century as Paul was writing, he was talking about people who, Rome was in charge, they were in power. He was talking about people who would get in the arena and wrestle against Rome. And when these people would wrestle, there was a winner, there was a loser. But unlike our wrestlers today, these wrestlers, the loser, got a death sentence. Oh. And so Paul is saying something here. He's saying, look, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's a physical battle. He says, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And what he's telling us is, our struggle is spiritual. And we may at times look at one another and think they're the problem, they're the issue, they're the one that's given us all this drama, they're the one that's given us all this pain, all this grief, all this turmoil. But do you know what it is? It's Satan working through an individual. Now, I am not saying this. I'll repeat this twice so you understand me. I'm not saying if you are having a difference with somebody, if you're arguing with somebody, do not go up to that person and say, you know what? Satan's using you to be wicked right now. Because he's using you to say that, it's going to create more drama. Again, if you're having an issue with somebody, don't come up to them and say, look, Satan's using you to be wicked right now. No. He may be using somebody, but it's probably not a good idea to throw that on the wound, is it? So Paul is saying, look, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in his heavenly places. And he's not wanting us to see a hierarchy here as much as he wants us to see there is evil that is in this entire world. He says, you got enough to worry about. But there's evil all around us. And so what are we to do? Notice, he gives us one word here in this verse that he repeats five times. Do you know what it is? Against. Against. Who are we against? He says, not flesh and blood. The devil and his rulers, the forces of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So I want to ask you a question. I thought about separating everybody today for this because sometimes it works a little better, but I'm going to leave you where you are. So when you have a struggle, if you're in a struggle right now, whatever that struggle may be, Doesn't matter. For each of us, it's different, but it's still a struggle, right? How are you dealing with it? What are we turning to? If this problem that Paul was talking about, which, by the way, probably, this is my figure, okay, 90% of our problems come from a spiritual issue. And Paul is saying, look, if you got a spiritual problem, don't turn to the world. Amen. Handle it spiritually. But here's my question. How do you handle something you cannot see? How many of us have seen the devil? I know you might think there's time to act like it. I'm not talking about that. How many of us have ever seen the devil? No. How many of us have ever seen a demon? How do you deal with something? How do you fight against something you can't see? What do we do? It's a spiritual matter. So what do we have spiritually as a resource to help us deal with a spiritual problem? Mike held a Bible up. Exactly. What else do we have? Faith in Jesus. What else do we have? Prayer. What else do we have? Holy Spirit. So these things are spiritual that can help us deal with our spiritual problems. So I want to ask you a question. Before I do that, let me give you a little story. In 20 minutes, it'll be lunchtime. Not for you, and we're not out of here yet. But let's pretend today you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know, at lunch, I want to have German food today. And so there's two ways for you to acquire German food. Number one, you can get on an airplane and you can go to Germany. Probably a little expensive to do that, especially for a bratwurst or a schnitzel or a pommes frites or a brötchen. That's French fries and a bun, and a bratwurst is like a sausage. But so it's probably a little expensive to go there. So, okay, well, let me look at my phone. This is the only time you can look on your phone during the service. You punch it in. Where's there a German restaurant? Well, there's one in Pittsburgh. I can go to Pittsburgh after the service and have German food. If you want German food, you need to go where they make it, right? So, Paul is saying to us, if you have a spiritual problem, you got to deal with it spiritually. If you want the spiritual, you need to go to the spiritual. Don't shop in the world, because the devil has this store and he makes his products look good. And we go in there and we hear some doubt. Here's some misery. Here's some woe is me. I better have some of this. I'm no good. And he puts all these things in there. He doesn't put them down low on a shelf where you can't see them. He puts them right here in your eyes where it's easy to reach. And we go shopping in that store. And we start to buy these things. And we start to believe these things, that this is who we are. This is how we are. And next thing you know, we're in a mess. Or we go shopping in the world, trying to find an answer to a spiritual issue. And it's not going to work. And so as we look at this, Paul wants us to know something. He says, look, as we're entering into this new year, we, unfortunately, are going to have spiritual problems. And we might think that it's with our flesh and blood. He says, but that's not the case. He says, when maybe you're being riled by flesh and blood, they're being used by the devil. And they probably think the same thing about us. But he says, your problem, or our problem, excuse me, is against the devil. And if you're going to deal with him, you probably ought to go to the Capitol Hill, the heavenly Capitol Hill. And we need to seek out this one named Jesus who is sitting on his throne. And we should come to him. We say, hey, we got a problem here. Do you know how we know there's a problem in this world now? Look at the nations that are waging war against one another. Look at the abortions. Look at the broken homes. Look at the murders that are taking place. And I again, we see on the news out in Idaho, was Iowa? Iowa, sorry. We saw out in Iowa of a shooter who shot somebody, killed a person, and wounded others. And then they'd say, well, let's take away the guns. No, that's not the answer. You see, when you devalue life from the womb and say the baby doesn't matter, why would we think it would be not common for somebody to think, well, since they don't matter, this person over here doesn't matter? When we start to devalue life, we don't get to select and choose, well, this life isn't valued, but this one is, because somebody will come along and say, look, if you don't care about life, I don't care about that life, and I'm going to take that life. And so the problem with those on our Capitol Hill is their value of life. They don't see it the way God sees it. God sees all life as precious from the womb through to the tomb. And when we as humanity step in, regardless of party, and start to think that we can play God, we have a problem. And so Paul is saying, look, if you have a problem, it tends to be spiritual in nature. Is the problem our president? Don't answer that. Is the problem our Congress, our Supreme Courts? They're being used by the devil. That's the problem. Hearts that are open to the devil's leading, that are wickedness, that are taking place. And we might think that, well, it's really this person or that person, but it's something greater in the heavenly places that is taking place. So what do we need to do? Pray for them. You see, that's our spiritual weapon. Read God's word. That's our spiritual weapon. The sword is the word of the Lord, as Hebrews tells us. These things that we have, we are to use them and turn to them, not to the world, to fight this battle, because it's a spiritual battle. And so maybe you're sitting here today and you're in a battle. My question is, what are you turning to help fight that battle? Is it to Christ? I've learned something. Carmen even shared this morning in Sunday school. I've learned something is I find that I have battles. We all have battles. For me, the greatest place to be is right here. Right here at the altar. As I'm sitting here during the week and something's going on, if I get worked up about it, I'll come up here and I'll pray. And then I may have a luxury that you don't. I can stay here as long as I want until I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Does that battle, because I pray, does it mean it's going to go away? Not necessarily. But God has given me a peace to deal with that battle, whatever it might be. Amen. You may not have an altar that you can come to. But you got a bedside, you got a couch, you got anywhere you sit. Pray about that matter, one of our spiritual weapons that God has given us to help us with that matter. Don't turn to the world. Don't turn to the devil and his store and all those things he's got in his shop that look good to us, because he knows how to make it look really good. And next thing you know, Lord, why am I getting my butt kicked in this battle? Well, how are you fighting it? Are we fighting it on our knees? You see, Paul said they're going to happen. We're going to have battles. And sometimes God permits those battles to test us, to strengthen us in our faith and our walk with him. And sometimes the devil comes along and he says, I'm going to get you good today. And God allows him to sift us like wheat as he does to Peter. So every one of us here in this room, if you're not in one now, you will soon be in one. You will be in a battle. And the battles that Paul is talking about are what I would say is cosmic. They're cosmic proportions. Now, if I were to say to you, you're in a battle, 1 John 4:4, greater is he than he who's in the world, would that give you comfort? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we are more than conquerors for those who are in Christ. Does that nurture your soul? Sometimes we just don't feel it, do we? Sometimes, yeah, that's good, but it's just not working for me. Get on your knees and stay there until God gives you peace. Because see, if you don't, our battle is very quickly going to become with somebody, flesh and blood. We're going to turn to and turn on that one very quick, and the devil will use it in our life and in their life. And see, we then think they are the problem. But that's not so. What I just told you is going to save you some money. You didn't know that. You're going to come and get a banking lesson today, did you? You see, when you try to deal with a spiritual problem physically, you're going to pay for it. Out of your wallet, and maybe in some other form. But if we try to deal with a problem spiritually that is spiritual, Jesus already paid for it. But there will be those who will try to deal with a physical problem financially. And seek out the answer in the world. When Jesus says, be still and know that I am God. In your bulletin, I put for you there a few verses that can kind of help us in this matter. If you're wondering, what do I do? You read there, Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my defense. Deuteronomy 33:27, the Lord is my dwelling place. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm just going to read the rest of these. I know you can read them, but for those who are listening online, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and salvation. Psalm 46:1, the Lord is my refuge and strength. Psalm 46:1, the Lord is my ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 55, verse 4, the Lord is my helper and my sustainer of my soul. And Psalm 73:26, the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And you might say, well, that's nice. You just quoted me verses and you said that ain't going to mean anything. But you see, if you take these verses and you sit down and you start praying about them, God, you are my strength. Help me today because I am weak. You are my defense. Help me today because I feel like I'm vulnerable. And you get on through these verses. Lord, you are my dwelling place. You are my rock. And you start praying the scriptures through in your situation. Watch what happens. Does it mean today that the situation will be resolved? No. I wish I could tell you yes to that. But God will give you the strength, the peace, and the courage needed to walk through that time. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not even of ourselves. So why do we turn to something physically to help us spiritually? The only physical thing you should be turning to is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Jesus Christ, God the Father. They are all persons, the three of the Trinity. You have prayer. This is what we use to help us fight these battles. And one of Satan's greatest, most effective strategies for us who are believers, you know what it is? It comes right out of this verse. Verse 12. Our struggle is against not flesh and blood, but the rulers, the powers of darkness, the world forces. You're going to get tired of hearing me say that. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. One of the greatest things Satan does to us that hurts us is causes us to think there's no serious threat here. You see, there is a battle going on in the heavenly places right now for your soul. There's a battle going on right now for your spouse's soul. There is a battle going on right now, if you have children, for your children's soul. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc. And one of his greatest tools is to cause us to think out of sight, out of mind. Right? How many of us sit here and dwell on the fact every day there's a battle going on for our soul in the heavenly places? Probably not any of us. Who gets up in the morning and says, yeah, wow, Satan and God are really duking it out over me today. But do you know what that leads to? Are you ready for it? Say it again. Boom. Apathy. Lethargicness. Is that a word? Lethargy? It's a new word now, lethargicness. You know what I mean? Lethargy. And then what happens is if we don't pay attention to or give heed to what Paul is saying for our life, we're probably not going to give much attention for the person sitting beside us or the person in front of us or on the other side of us or in the next room, in the next house, across the street, across the corner, wherever it may be. He wants to dull our senses and to make us think all is good, all is grand. But Paul is telling us there's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on not only for your soul, but for the soul of your family. And so my question, what is it going to be? What's my question going to be? Can't read my mind. What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about this battle that is being waged for our soul? You see, the devil doesn't care. He doesn't care one bit if you're sick today. He's not going to take the day off. He doesn't care one bit how much money you have in your account. He doesn't care about your position. He doesn't care about your title. He doesn't care about your job, where you are, where you work, whatever you do. He does not care about that. His main goal is to take you down with him. And you know something? I wish I had a better word for you than this. He's not going to take a day off. He doesn't care if you're sick. He doesn't care if you're laid up. He doesn't care how things are going in your life. His main purpose is to take your soul. It's not against flesh and blood. Our battle is spiritual in the heavenly places. And this word that is used here, against, used five times. The first time it says it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against one another. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your children. It's not against your family, your friends, your neighbors, or anybody else. And their struggle isn't against us either. He says it's against Satan. There's going to be times when we are going to walk the path in life and we're going to have struggles. There's going to be times when we maybe have some thorny times. There's going to be times when we might feel detached. We might feel isolated from others. There might be times when we feel like we're walking alone. You know what happens when that occurs? The devil comes in and fear replaces faith. Fear replaces faith. And when you find yourself there, pray. Pray. Satan, as Paul is showing us, and his demons have infiltrated this world. And maybe they've infiltrated us to a point. But Paul is saying our response is to turn to the Lord. I want to read verse 11 for you one moment. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The devil is scheming to trip you up, to trip me up, to trip us up, to cause us to be ineffective, to cause us to live in fear rather than in faith. And he's tripping us up and he's saying, look, you know, come shopping in my store. I got some wonderful things for you. And by the end of the day, you'll be a wreck. Or pick up the phone, call little Johnny or Susie and let them know what's going on. Get their opinion, what they think should happen. But rarely then would we bend the knee to the Lord. Jesus knows all about our struggles. We just sang that. And he will guide us till when? Till the day is done. Now, why would we not seek the one who knows about our struggles, the one who will guide us till the day is done? Ephesians 1, verse 3, you read these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every," what? "Spiritual blessing." And where are they at? In the heavenly places. That's where I'm going to for my battle. That's where my blessings are, to help me deal with this one who's causing me turmoil. That's where God is. That's where my spiritual blessings are. That's who I'm going to seek to help me in time of need. Psalm 121, our what? Help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now granted, it's good to have friends. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having friends, but if you're going to engage in a spiritual battle, seek the Lord. That's right. Some of us are shopping in the wrong store, picking up goods that don't even belong to us. And so Satan says, "Here, you can have this. Come shop and don't worry, put it on credit. I'll get it from you later. I'll make you miserable later. I'll make you worry, I'll make you doubt, I'll make you have fear later. Don't worry. Just shop and pick up all you want today in the store. And then soon we're going to be the boxer." That's painful. That hurt. Yeah, because we're shopping in the wrong place. Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should be changed or the mountains be moved." Right? Sorry, bug just flew up my nose. Excuse me. So what do we do? You're going to enter this, well, we're in the year already. 51 more weeks to go and you're out of it. Just trying to be positive for you. 51 more weeks to go, but you're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have struggles. But as you do, I want you to know that you are not alone. He walks with us. He is our strength. He is our defense, as I've given you in your bulletin there. And we can turn to him. He's the one we should turn to first. John 10 says this, "My Father," Jesus says this, "who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one can snatch them out of my hand." No one. I don't know of anything or anyone that is greater or stronger than God. If it does, we're in trouble. But he says nobody can snatch them out of our hand. He is the one who is in control. He is aware of our circumstances. He is aware of our situation. And nothing can take us away from him or separate us from his love. And so as Paul is writing here, he says, look, there's a spiritual Capitol Hill. And I want you to pay attention to something here. Very important. The second word in verse 12, what do you have? I'm using a New American Standard, but what is the second word some of you have?
We.
We? Our? Any others? What's he saying? Our or we? What's he saying? We're in it together. All of us are in the midst of this war. You may not want to be in it, but when you become a child of God, you're in. And so the reason I'm telling you that is because, in case this light bulb didn't go off in your head yet, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, right now you and I are surrounded by a spiritual enemy as you sit here. Oh, wow. It's not a battle for land. It's a battle for the soul. Is he winning? Who's winning? Well, if you're in the Lord, nothing can take us out of his hand. But Satan, you know, in Isaiah in Ezekiel, he decides that he wants the glory too. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be in power. And God says in Isaiah 48:11, no. My glory I will not give to another. It is God's. So the battle is for glory. Who's going to be in charge on Capitol Hill? Who's in charge of your life? Is it God? Is it the devil? Notice in verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God. You know something about, you know, one thing that is really good about being a soldier in the military? When there is a war that takes place, they get clothed and fed first. Everybody's going to get out and sign up in the recruiter's office now. When there's a war that takes place, the military gets clothed and fed first because they're the ones that's going to do the battle. Here in verse 11, Paul says, put on the full armor of God because, down in verse 12, our struggle. He says, you're in this battle whether you want to be or not because you're a believer. And so he says, you better get your armor on. We better get our armor on because the devil has a plan. He's scheming to take as many with him as he can. So, what are we going to do? Are we going to suit up for this battle that's taking place in the heavenly places? What do we do about those who are sitting around us? See, I want you to know something. The devil isn't afraid of you. He isn't afraid of me. He isn't afraid of any one of us. He wants to wage war. He wants to do battle because if he can distract us, it will keep us from doing what Christ wants us to do for his honor and for his glory. But we're too busy. We fight with others and we think our struggle is against one another. Get in a ring with the devil and tell him you rebuke him in the name of your fist and see what he does to you. You're going to be the boxer if you're trying to fight him with your own strength rather than in the name of the Lord. And so this week, even as we sit here right now, the devil wants you to take matters into your own hands. He wants you to try and fight him yourself. The scriptures say, resist him and he will flee from you. He wants us to try and fight him. But my question to you is this, where will your help come from? Psalm 121. Our Lord who made heaven and earth? Is that who we will turn to or will we turn to the world? I want you to know this because I'll guarantee you, you go out that door and you're going to get hit with him. Well, even in here, he might be working in your heart and your mind right now, lumping you up pretty good, saying, oh, don't listen to him. Don't listen to what he's trying to say. He's just trying to scare you. No, I'm trying to give you reality. The devil isn't worried because we gather here in these four walls at a holy huddle. He's not afraid of us one bit. Do you have your armor on? You see, your fight isn't against each other. You're to be helping one another in this battle that we're in. My help comes from the Lord. And I hope yours does as well. Shall we close in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given us, the time that we can gather together here in this place. And Father, we acknowledge that we are in a battle. We're not naive of that. We know it takes place. And yet, Lord God, we pray and we ask humbly, Father, would you help us in this battle? Our battle is not against each other. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle, Lord God, is against the devil. And you tell us to resist him and he will flee from us. Help us, Father, to use the spiritual weapons that we have for this battle that we are in. Help us to not turn to the ways of the world and shop in heaven or in Satan's grocery store, but help us to turn to you who sits on the throne. Help us to be still and know that you are Lord. I thank you for your love for us, Lord God. And as we prepare our hearts for communion, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would continue to minister to each one here. Some of us, Lord, are in a battle right now. And Father, I pray that we would turn to you for the strength and the sustenance we need to fight this battle. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.